You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 10. I got about 26 minutes. If you believe in miracles. I'll get you up later. In Romans 10, this is a real common scripture. You know, we were teaching, we've taught a series on Sundays on salvation. Salvation 101 is what we call it. We talked about the good news, the gospel of our salvation for a couple weeks in a row. And it's just been good talking about salvation. Salvation, what it means. What does it mean to you? You know, what does salvation mean? This is just something I was meditating on. These are common verses. We've actually gone over some of these. Romans 10:9, you all should know it, says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, that's pretty basic. I think it's appropriate, too, thinking about Memorial Day, that Jesus died. You know, we confess our mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe that God raised him from the dead. Jesus actually paid the price for your sins. Hallelujah, somebody. If you want to celebrate Memorial Day, remember that. Someone already died for your sins. Who died and put you in charge? Jesus. Are you with me? Died and put us in charge. We can pray now. We can believe now. We can go to heaven now. We can get our prayers answered now because someone died for our freedom and our liberty. Ultimately, the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, died for all of us. But it says here that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's a confession of Jesus. Salvation is not in all that we do. Salvation is what we believe. If we confess with our mouth, the verse before that says, what is it? The word of faith which we preach? In your heart and in your mouth, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Woo! How many of you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? How many of you have confessed him with your mouth? So what you believe comes out of your mouth. That's pure and simple. I mean, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? In Matthew 12. And so out of what's in the inside, we speak out of our mouth. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says we all have the same spirit of faith. Everybody say same spirit. Okay, Paul was speaking here to the Corinthians. He said we all having the same spirit of faith. We would say in Texas, y'all having the same spirit of faith. And he goes on, he says, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We all have the same spirit of faith. I believe, therefore have I spoken. As it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Y'all see that? There's the same two things. Confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. And Paul's saying in 2 Corinthians 4:13, the spirit of faith, real faith, Bible faith, Christian faith, comes down to according what is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. And he says, we also believe and therefore speak. Woohoo! Are you out there? And so we know that's what connected us with our salvation. It's a confession of our mouth of what we believe in our heart. Now, it's not believing anything. It's believing something in particular. What is written? According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. What is written? Jesus died for your sins and rose again. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus died, amen? Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. That's what's written. Then you shall be saved. Everybody say saved.
Saved.
Okay. That's just basic Christianity. But I want to kind of expound on that word saved. That's a fascinating word, the word saved. The word saved there in the Greek, which the New Testament was written in Greek, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And what we have is an English translation. And I dare say there's probably 5, 6, 7 different translations out here this morning. NIV, maybe a New Living Translation. You might have a Message Translation, New King James Version, King James, New American Standard. Come on. Y'all probably, somebody got one I didn't mention? Amplified? All of them? He's got, yeah, I got them all right here. Dr. Byrne, I have all the translations. I mean, there's all kinds of translations, but they were translated from the Greek. They all were translated from the Greek in the New Testament and Hebrew from the Old Testament. And this word saved, what's fascinating about it, is it is the word sozo. S-O-Z-O. Everybody say sozo.
Sozo.
Okay. What sozo means, which is an interesting word, It's so exciting, I had to put my glasses on. Okay. Sozo means deliver, protect, heal, healed, preserve, save, do well, make hope. Really? Yeah, I'm reading it right here. It's on my iPad. I can't lie. It's on my iPad. I mean, I read it on the internet. It's got to be true, doesn't it? Okay. No, the word sozo, it means to deliver, to make safe, to protect, to heal, or healed, ED, preserve or save, do well, to make whole. I like it, make whole. You know, the word make whole, in the King James Version, you don't see it much in some translations. Remember the one with the issue of blood was made whole? In fact, that's Mark, the 5th chapter. Y'all remember that account where it says there was a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and she'd been to many physicians and spent all that she had and was none the better, rather grew worse when she heard of Jesus. She came in the press, for she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And when she came in the press and touched his garment, the Bible says virtue or power came out of Jesus into her, and then she felt in her body that she was healed. And Jesus, immediately knowing someone had touched him, he felt power come out of him. He didn't know who it was. He turned around and said, who touched me? That's just a fascinating story, because this is a woman who believed God and went to Jesus, grabbed a hold of him, got healed. Jesus didn't even confront the woman and ask her if she wanted to be healed. She came and got her healing from Jesus because she had heard of Jesus, and faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Romans 10:17 tells us that. And what did she hear of Jesus? She must have heard he was a healing Jesus, or she wouldn't have gone to that trouble to reach up and grab his garment. She must have heard he didn't turn people down. Are you with me? Because she kept coming and she grabbed it. She must have heard that everyone that got to him got what they came for. Because that's what she kept saying. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Everybody say whole. Okay. Well, Jesus turning, he said, who touched me? And the disciples thought he was lost his mind. They thought Jesus lost his mind on several occasions. But they said, Lord, who touched you? The multitude is touching you. But see, this woman touched him in faith. That's a different kind of touch. It's one thing to cry out to Jesus, another thing to cry out and believe Jesus. It's one thing to use Jesus' name. Some people use it as a cuss word. But it's another thing to use it in faith. And this woman touched him in a different way than everybody else touched him. She touched him in such a way that power came out of him. Don't you want to touch Jesus in a way that causes power to come out of him? Well, you want to touch him in faith. You want to touch him believing. Well, the woman then, at that point, when they said, Lord, the multitude touches you or throngs you, what do you mean, who touched you? The woman, fearing and trembling, fell down, the Bible says, before him and told him all that she did. And that's why we have it all written. That's why it's all there in Mark 5, because she gave that account. One of the disciples were faithful to write it down and to take note of what was said. And they found out that she'd been to many physicians. They found out she'd spent all her money, was none of the better, rather grew worse. They found out that she'd heard of Jesus. They found out that she obeyed what she heard, stepped out on what she heard. And she came, for she said, they found out she'd been saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And they found out she came in the press and grabbed his garment and got whole and got healed. Because she told that. She said it right there. She told them all that happened. And then it says, Jesus said, woman, go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Remember that? That's in Mark 5th chapter. That word whole is the same word saved in Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. In her case, it was healing. Oh, I know y'all are excited. I know you are. Try to calm down. I want to finish this message. Y'all are getting way too loud here, okay? I appreciate the amens and the hollers and then that's right and go on and yoo-hoo and all that, but just settle in. This woman, really, your faith has saved you, healed her. No question it was talking about healing. I mean, that's what it says happened. She was sick and got healed. But that's still the same word. So if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be healed. You shall. See, often we've cut this out of the equation. And so we're not really believing for healing. And we're not believing for deliverance. We're not believing to be set free, as it were, in some areas. But we're believing just for eternal life or for heaven. Well, that is part of it, and that's the greatest part, no question. But it's more inclusive than just eternal life. It's more than just salvation, me going to heaven, just by virtue of the word, saved. Woohoo! Oh, man, that's good preaching. Glory to God, that's good stuff. Yes! Don't hang up now. Sozo. Whole. That word whole is an old English word. You know, we don't use it so much today. But what it meant was to be complete, to be whole. It's the same word, holy. Holy, not in the Greek. I'm talking about old English. It comes from the same word, holy. Whole, holy. You know, to be holy is to have no sin. Isn't that right? To be holy. To be whole is to have no sickness. Physically, to be whole. When that woman was made whole, she had no sickness. She was made whole. Someone's made holy, they have no sin. But I'd submit to you that as far as God's concerned, what sickness does to the body, God's as much against as he is what sin does to the spirit. God wants to make your spirit holy, and he wants to make your body whole. Now, I know we're getting old, we're going to die, we can't get around that, and everybody dies, and that's still an enemy that's to be put underfoot, the Bible talks about. But I can guarantee you this from the Scripture, no question about it, anybody goes to heaven never dies again. Everybody goes to heaven is completely whole. They never get sick. They never have any pain. Are you with me? No fire ants, no red bugs, no chiggers, no mosquitoes, no ticks. Hallelujah. I want to go there. I want to go there. Are you out there? But I mean, you can get help here. We can get relief here. We're going to die. I know that, unless Jesus comes back. But God wants to make us whole. And the way we do that, our salvation includes that. Our salvation is a large package. I think sometimes, even with insurance, we don't always read the fine print, you know. And usually to our detriment, you know, we think we're covered in areas we're not. But I think in God's plan, we're covered in areas we don't think we are. It's all God's plan is always better than we can imagine. It's always more than what we thought. Brother Osteen used to tell a story about a guy that took a cruise, and he got on a cruise ship. Well, it wasn't a cruise. He took a ship coming to America. He was coming from Europe to America, and he just had enough for the ticket, and so he just stocked up on cheese and crackers so he'd have something to eat on the way back. And he was sitting out on the, you know, out on the deck every time his mealtime, go out there and get his sack of cheese and crackers, and he'd eat his cheese and crackers, and that went on for days and weeks. You know, it took a couple of weeks or more to get across. Back then, across the Atlantic. You know, you don't realize that. I know when I was a little kid, my dad was in Germany. It took us, I think, 10 days to 2 weeks to cross the Atlantic, coming back from Germany. In fact, I turned 5 on the ship home. It's the only thing I really remember. I didn't spend 5 years on the ship, but my birthday was in the Atlantic Ocean. But anyway, after all these days, and just the day before they're fixing the dock and pull in, you know, New York, the harbor there. He was out on the deck eating his cheese and crackers, and one of the guys came up and says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well," he said, "I'm just eating cheese and crackers." He said, "I just had enough money for the ticket, and that's all I had enough money for, so I brought all my food with me." And the guy just shook his head, and he says, "Man," he said, "the meals are included in the ticket." Are you with me? And I think salvation is that way. We're just kind of waiting around to die, you know, waiting around to go to heaven and get our inheritance, as it were. And yet there's so much more included in the ticket. Jesus paid for so much more than just our eternal life. He saved us, okay? That means we can call on him in the time of trouble, and he will hear us, and he will help us. Hallelujah. That means by his stripes we've been healed. And as any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. That same word, incidentally. The prayer of faith shall sozo the sick. Are you with me? If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's James 5:14-15. The 16th verse says this. It says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed." Woo! Are you out there? Well, that's sozo. So when we talk about salvation, this good news of our salvation, we need to keep in mind that it's more than just eternal life. Now, how many of you are saved? Okay. That means more than just you have eternal life. That means you can get your prayers answered. That means God cares about your state where you are right now. He cares about the body you live in right now, the marriage that you have right now, the job you have right now. He cares about your children. He cares about your animals. Come on. Are you out there? If it means something to you, it means something to him. You know, the first miracle Jesus did was turn water into wine. Nobody was dying. Nobody was sick. But it was important to this couple that was having this wedding. The whole town turned out. Jesus was there himself, and his mother was there, and they ran out of wine. Woo! That's the first miracle. The Bible says the first miracle that he did. And that was not a life and death thing. I think sometimes we think if we don't have cancer, if we don't have some fatal disease, we're not going to bother God. You know, people have so many more needs than I do. Well, I mean, if you believe that, then why'd you get saved? There's probably people who need to go to heaven worse than you did. Are you out there? I mean, that doesn't even make sense, does it? Oh, well, I would never bother God. There are so many people who got so many more needs than I got. It's like we know God's pretty busy. And, you know, he's not that big. And there's only so many people who can help at a time. And he just overwhelmed. He's got to be stressed out. You know, God's got to be stressed out. Everybody praying and believing. I mean, come on. You know, who in the world could handle all that? Well, it would take God to do. Well, no, that is God. That is God. God can handle everybody's problem, can't he? And he said he wanted to handle them. He said he wanted to help you. And he said, anybody that calls on, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the 13th verse of Romans 10. While you're there, the 10th verse, the 13th verse of the 10th chapter says, whosoever, not just, you know, the first 10. This is not prizes on a radio station, okay? The first 10 callers or the first whatever. Yeah, this is not, was it Price is Right or what is that where they say, come on down? Yeah. Come on down. Everybody gets all excited. That always amazed me. Bob Barker was the one that would say, come on down. He'd name off about five names or whatever, and they come running down there. I mean, they're flipping out. I don't know why they didn't have heart attacks just coming downstairs. Some of them are jumping and shouting and doing cartwheels all the way down. You can't even talk when they get up there. There's about four or five of them, and nobody's won anything yet. They just have a chance of winning. Come on down, you know, and everybody's, ah! And yet God's called us, and we've all won. Every one of us have won in him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, sozo. Shall be preserved, sozo. Shall be healed, sozo. Shall be rescued. Are you with me? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, whether it's a tornado in Moore, Oklahoma, are you with me? Or whether you're lost and need to be saved, go to heaven. Or sick and need to be healed. Woo. Oh, that's good preaching. Hallelujah. Woo. Sozo. Now think about it. This is the same word. Oh, goodness, there's so many good scriptures concerning this that we could turn to. You know, it's translated healed, whole. I'm looking at my time, and I'm thinking about that brisket. Anybody bring a banana pudding? Okay, just say it. Somebody got to bring a banana pudding. Okay. Want to make sure we got that covered, you know. So, I tell you what, turn to, that's good. Mark 6, turn there. Mark 6 chapter. I just want you to look at a verse. There's many verses that we could turn to. What I want to do is broaden your perspective or enlighten you or expand your idea or concept of the word saved. I think we just have it very limited in most Christian circles. And thank God for Christians. Thank God for Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Church of Christ, Catholic. I mean, we're pro-church. If you believe in Jesus, you're a Christian. If you believe he died and rose again, if you believe he was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, went to hell, rose again, hallelujah, and he's at the right hand of God. If you believe on him and you trust him, you are a Christian, you're a believer, regardless of your middle name, which may be Baptist, Methodist, you know, whatever. Your real name, Christian. That's what we all are. Amen. If you believe that, then you're saved. But I think sometimes, and this is the thing I'm addressing here this morning, sometimes we just relegate, or we think of the word salvation in terms of just heaven. Can you be honest? Don't you sometimes think of that when you say, I'm saved, you're thinking of going to heaven. Isn't that right? I think most of us do. I think most of Christians do, because that's what we're taught. And that part of it is true, no question. But the problem is that's not all of it. And therein is the problem. Because then we go over here, we talk about another subject like healing or getting out of a mess or peace or whatever the case may be. We don't think of it in terms of being part of the package per se. We kind of shoot one up there and hope God's listening and pull the lever down, hope it comes up triple nickels. It's kind of a gamble. It's not a, are you with me? But see, there's no gamble on eternal life. There's no triple nickels. There's no catching God in a good mood. We pray and we believe and God saves us. Amen. No matter who you are or where you've been or what you've done, if you come to Jesus, He'll accept you. Amen. There's no doubt about that. I don't think any church would ever tell people, we're going to pray now. We're going to pray for you. We're going to hope something happens here. But we don't know whether God's going to save you or not. He may save you. He may not. You know, I mean, you may make it and you may not make it. But we'll go ahead and pray anyway and just see. Because God may want you lost. We don't know that for sure. He may want you saved, but He did say here that if we pray, so we're going to pray if it be His will to save you, and if not, He won't. Are you out there? Now, I know that's ridiculous. Nobody prays that way. And the reason we don't pray that way is because of what the Scripture says. It says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. That's us. Amen. We call on Jesus' name, we'll be saved. But what I'm trying to say here, and the Bible's saying to us, is that salvation is bigger than just eternal life. That salvation includes deliverance and preservation and health and all kinds of things. And we do not come with the same confidence on those areas of our life that we did when we came to Him to be saved. And we many times don't preach with the same assurance and the same confidence that God will help you than we do when we talk about being saved. And yet, there is no difference. In fact, what did Jesus do? Come on, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Heal the sick, raise dead, cast out devils, stop storms. Did He turn anybody away? Can you think of one person that Jesus would not forgive when they really wanted forgiveness? In fact, if anything, He was accused of forgiving too much. Hanging around sinners and harlots and publicans, tax collectors. Okay, can you think of any time He refused to heal anybody? Wow, come on now. I mean, come on. If there were some cases where Jesus said, I'm just not going to heal you, okay? I don't know, just something about you I just don't like. You're just going to have to live with it. I'm sorry, you're just going to have to live with it. Are those cases in the Bible? I don't even know one. I mean, there was a Syrophoenician woman who was not a Jew, came up to Him and asked for deliverance for a daughter. And He says, well, this is the children's bread, not meat. It's not right or proper to throw the children's bread to the dogs. Dogs are just what they call Gentiles. But even that woman and her persistence wouldn't let go. She said, truth, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs off the table. And Jesus turned around and says, for that saying right there, your devil's gone out of your daughter. And she was delivered from that moment forward. That's the only case I can think of. He even came close, and her persistence overruled that. And he was just coming to the Jewish nation when He walked the earth. He opened up to everybody after He rose from the dead. But even that woman, and her faith and her persistence, got deliverance for her daughter. So why would you think God wouldn't heal you? Why would you think He wouldn't help you? Far from thinking that you're not good enough, it's almost you think you're special. Because only it had to be a special case for Jesus not to help. I don't even know one. Get quiet in here. Where did I tell you to turn to? Mark 6. Yeah, that's a good verse. Yeah. Mark 6 chapter. We'll close out with this. This helping anybody? Okay, if nothing else, think about it. Just let it broaden your thinking. Maybe it's brand new. Maybe you never heard it before. Maybe you say, well, that's the wildest thing I ever heard in my life. Well, check the scripture out. I mean, I'm giving you scripture and telling you to look in the word. But now don't just put on your traditional glasses. Take those off. Get some of these. Walmart's got them pretty cheap. They've got them all kinds of $250, $200, $150, whatever you need. Just look in there and let the Bible speak for itself. And consistently, ask yourself certain questions. Did Jesus deny anybody healing? Did he? Did he deny anybody salvation? No, of course not. What does the word saved mean? What does it mean to be saved? What does that word mean? Well, once you define those terms and you answer those questions, then it opens up a whole new horizon. All of a sudden we go, wow, there is more to this. And there's always, always more to God than you ever thought, dreamed, or imagined. Amen? Okay, Mark 6 chapter, notice this, in the 56th verse, right at the end of the chapter, says, and everywhere he entered into villages or cities or countries, they laid down the sick in the streets. Wow, why did he do that? Because he was healing people, right? That's what Jesus did. Whatever we went, he laid down sick in the streets, and they besought him that they might touch, if it were, just the border or the hem of his garment. Oh, that's a preaching and teaching in itself. It's kind of like that prophecy, you know, we're waiting here for you, and that's true. There's a biblical principle of waiting. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength. But they weren't waiting for a touch, hoping God would show up. They were just trying to touch him. Yeah, I think sometimes we're waiting for a touch from God, and God's waiting for a touch from us. We're waiting for God to show up, and God's waiting for us to show up. We're waiting for God to move, and God's waiting for us to move. We hadn't called, we hadn't come, we hadn't cried, we hadn't believed, we hadn't done what we're supposed to do. We hadn't come to him. Everyone that came to Jesus got help. But not everybody came to Jesus. Are you listening? Okay. So it says, they came to him and they laid sick in the streets and they besought him that they might touch, if it were, the border of his garment. As many as touched him were made whole. Everybody say whole. Okay, what do you think happened to him? When it says whole, what do you think happened? Healed, right? They came off those beds, right? Isn't that the context of it? I mean, everybody would agree with that. I don't know if anybody disagree with that. No matter what your stand is or my stand is, you'd have to say, well, they got healed. Well, that word whole is saved. That word whole is sozo. It's the very same word we quoted, started out with in Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, or sozo. It's also the same word in Ephesians 2:8. It says, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation. Well, it's bigger than eternal life. It's bigger than just heaven. It's bigger than just having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It includes healing. It includes rescuing. It includes preservation. Anybody want to be made whole? Anybody want to be saved? Amen. How many of you are saved? All right. How many of you believe in salvation? Well, you believe in something more than just eternal life. You believe in healing. You believe in preservation. You believe in answered prayers. Hallelujah. So this great salvation is just huge. It's on the huge side of big. It's more than you could ever dream or imagine. In the time of trouble, call upon him and he will save you. In the time of sickness, call upon him, he'll save you. In the time of depression, call, he'll save you. Financial duress, he'll save you. This is what God does. He saves us. God delivers us. God heals us. God preserves us. This is our great salvation. Hallelujah.